Okay, first of all, has everybody heard of Chula Vista? Everybody knows where Chula Vista is before today's presentation. If you haven't, we are about 5 minutes north of the U.S.-Mexico border, one of the most southwesterly cities in the country. We are a population of about 235,000, predominantly Hispanic now, about 52%. That continues to change looking at our elementary schools. We've got about 80-81% Hispanic. So you can see how the demographics population is changing over the years. About 51 square miles. No real distinction or claim to fame. Forbes magazine, I think it was last year, ranked us the most boring city in the United States. You know, having said that, it is a beautiful community. We enjoy a relatively low crime rate, home to one of four Olympic training centers in the country. Got a very nice bayfront that is, as of yet, completely undeveloped or partially developed. Last year, that's our Little League Championship World Series team from Chula Vista, put us on the map. But the city is changing, and unfortunately, our city is tied, the budget is tied largely to the growth of our city, the housing. And when the housing market crashed, so did the budget in the city, and actually in advance of some of the economic problems that other cities went through. So that impacted our project just a little bit, and I'll talk about that. Okay, I was going to talk a little bit about Safe City, but Nancy did a great job explaining what Safe City is. We were approached by the Target Corporation in spring of 2006. At that time, we decided to participate in the project. We gave the project to our then community relations unit, which consisted of a police sergeant and two civilian police community relations specialists. We also had an analyst assigned to the project, Karen Schmerler, who's actually the reason behind the success of our project. I think Karen and I had a number of debates over whether things were appropriate, whether they weren't appropriate. I am more or less an advocate for cameras. Karen is not. We met sort of in between. I'll talk about that. But so it was given to our community relations unit. And again, as Nancy said, it's not a whole lot different than a problem-solving effort, with perhaps a little more emphasis on the use of technology. Target did push heavily for the use of technology, in particular cameras. When Target began their Safe City program in Minneapolis, where their corporate headquarters are housed, there was that reliance on technology. They spent a significant amount of money, anywhere from $500,000 to $600,000, on infrastructure for the camera system, as well as radio communications for a lot of the businesses. Those of you who are familiar with Minneapolis know that it's much like been described as a habit trail, a lot of buildings with a lot of connecting tunnels. The radio communications enabled them to be successful in their project. So looking at our focus area, you can see where the orange oval is on the north part of the map. The yellow outlines our city and the current beat structure, but our Safe City area actually overlapped two cities, Chula Vista and then our neighbor to the north, National City. And the reason we did this, at the time we implemented Safe City, the two cities were going through a process to realign the borders, realign the boundaries, and we thought it was going to happen within a year. Well, unfortunately, the problems with the economy hit, staffing changes, a lot of staffing reductions, so that was put on the back burner, but because it fits so nicely in the project area, we kept it in there. It did present a couple of challenges, which I'll touch on later on, but it was a natural fit. And then more specifically, looking at our focus area, obviously Target being one of the anchor stores, there is a Walmart just to the west of the Target. Total of 55 businesses in our Safe City zone, as well as a government building, Department of Motor Vehicles, and a city park on the south side. Okay, just real quickly on the process. Again, not unlike a problem-solving effort, this isn't necessarily in the order that they were done. We identified the focus areas you've seen, did our analysis. I'll touch on that in just a minute. A couple of very lengthy, very thorough SEPTED assessments, as well as stakeholder meetings. Now, we did have a number of meetings throughout the project, initially with all the stakeholders who were interested in participating. We did get a good turnout, I want to say between 45 and 50 participants, representing a significant number of businesses. And then we also established a steering committee made up of not only representatives from the police department and other city departments, but also obviously the business owners. And then we staggered the meetings. 1 month we would do an all-partner meeting. The next month we would do the steering committee. We also had the funding drive. Nancy talked about how Target would roll out this great big check, Great media event, great publicity for Target, but I got to tell you, Target was an incredible corporation to work with throughout this whole process. They did push a lot for certain things, but when we pushed back, said we didn't want to go down that road, they were fine with it. But at the funding drive, we had been told all along that Target was looking at funding us with about $35,000. They wouldn't commit to an exact amount. When we had our media event to roll out the Safe City project, they gave us a check for $100,000, and then we had raised several thousand dollars from some of the other businesses in the area, gave us the funding to start what we wanted, some of the projects that we wanted to do. And then, of course, the project implementation. Now, we had to decide what we were going to focus on. So when we began the project, after we took it on, we wrote up a little flyer on what Safe City was. We had a number of people from the police department go out to the Safe City area, hand deliver the flyers to every business in the area, talk about the Safe City model, what we were trying to accomplish, inviting the folks to our first stakeholder meeting, and then giving them a survey to ask them what concerns they had. Had they experienced any one of these problems during the recent 6 months? We also looked at calls for service, looked at crime reports, crime statistics, and then we surveyed the officers to get their perception on problems in the Safe City area. And from that, we came up with, you see, the three areas that we focused on. Far and away, the most significant reported problem was on unwanted persons on property. This was transients, panhandlers, but also day laborers, and then obviously shoplifting and then vehicle theft. Okay, I mentioned the SEPTED assessments. We did the daytime SEPTED assessment. We had a number of people from the steering committee and the stakeholders from the businesses walk through the area with us to do the assessments, as well as community relations specialist from community relations to do the assessment, document what we found. And then we also did one at night, again, with a number of people. We also had a number of officers participate who had volunteered for the project and went along for the assessment. And we found what people typically find on SEPTED assessments, shrubbery, a lot of the blight issues, lighting being a problem, and then some of the access, interestingly enough, from some of the transient encampments. Now, to get a quick win, one of the things that we did was worked with our city graphic artist to develop a handful of signs that we could post throughout the Safe City area. Obviously, you can see them up there. I won't go into all the specifics, but, again, what Nancy said, sort of reinforcing what is unlawful behavior, telling them what they can and can't, what people can and cannot do. We also wanted to brand the Safe City area. So we came up with a sign in the middle. If you're ever down in Chula Vista, you'll note that these signs are still prominently displayed throughout. We had initially identified about 175 locations. I think ultimately we ended up with just shy of 100 signs, but nonetheless, they are pretty much everywhere. Now, we also worked with the steering committee to identify the order in which we wanted to tackle these projects. And in retrospect, we were far too aggressive in our timeline. We didn't even really stick to this timeline, but this is what our goal was. Sequentially, more or less, that's what we stayed true to. But these were the areas we focused on. Now, I mentioned the involvement of patrol. This was one of the more significant parts of the project as well, for a number of reasons. Not only did it show the business owners that we had a great deal of interest on the part of patrol officers, but the patrol officers became more familiar with what was happening in that area. Consequently, they spent more time in the area. They knew what we were trying to accomplish. They knew what the issues were. So that in itself, we believe, impacted some of the perceptions that were out in the Safe City area. More importantly, I think they were also that direct point of contact for the business owners and the employees of the businesses. Once we opened those line of communications between the patrol officers and the folks from the different businesses, the stakeholders, and they had a go-to person, it addressed a number of their problems that in the past they had reported problems with getting done. Not knowing who to go to, feeling like they were being given the runaround. Now they had somebody in particular that they could reach out to who could help them with their problems. And time again, we got feedback from the business owners that it made a difference and it eliminated a lot of the red tape or the process that was typically involved. Now, just to run through some of the accomplishments, we talked about signage. There were a number of things we accomplished, a number of things that we had hoped to accomplish, but for some reasons I'll touch on in a minute, we couldn't do. But another one of those was window clings that we were able to do. Put together small little static vinyl clings that went on windows throughout the businesses, prominently displayed, essentially reminding people or asking patrons to call the police if they saw something suspicious. You know, a very minor thing, but something that reinforces the fact that people are looking out for one another in the Safe City area. We also cleared a number of transient encampments. Not a huge transient problem, but consistently there'd be anywhere from 3 to 5 transients at any given time at any part in the Safe City area that were in this particular gateway, the Safe City area being a gateway on the north part of our city. So we were able to clear the transient encampments on the south side of the Safe City zone. As part of that, we were also able to fence off an area that provided basically unrestricted access for the transients to get into the Safe City area. So by erecting the fence, that limited their access or made it more difficult, more challenging for them, so they had to take a longer route and consequently were less likely to do it. Now, one of the bigger parts of the project, of the Safe City project in general, was a day labor issue. Now, this was kind of an interesting beast. Day laborers, if you look at calls for service only, wasn't a big problem. But when we went out and we talked to the business owners, we found that most of the businesses in the day labor zone were directly impacted. They felt that it intimidated their customers. People weren't shopping there. And we asked them why they weren't calling, why the calls for service didn't reflect that. And they said they had just given up. They felt that there was nothing that could be done. They tried to call Border Patrol. Border Patrol wouldn't come out. There were just a number of issues. So we took on a number of smaller parts to this project. We met with not only the business owners, but we also had a number of meetings with the day laborers themselves. Using some of the Safe City money, we used the services of a translator who could do simultaneous translation, and we sought their feedback. What we found was most of the day laborers were people who had been there long term. The ones who were causing most of the problems were the folks who were coming in, working for a week or two, and then moving on. So the day laborers, obviously, they didn't want us there, and they didn't want us there certainly any more than we wanted to be there. But they knew that these transient day laborers were the ones causing the focus, causing the emphasis to be placed on them and really creating those issues. So they came up with a number of suggestions, looking at ways to perhaps reduce that. Again, we had the signs, identifying that it was an alcohol and a drug-free zone. You know, a number of the complaints being people were drinking alcohol, which caused them to urinate in the bushes, obviously created some issues. To help the day laborers in what they were trying to accomplish, we made signs that businesses posted in the area, directing them to a certain location on the southeast part of the day laborer zone. We also implemented some traffic calming measures because we restricted the hiring of the day laborers to a small area. And we were able to do that with the help of a then unbeknownst to us, or initially unbeknownst to us, California Vehicle Code section, which said solicitation was unlawful within 500 feet of any off-ramp from a freeway. Now, we interpreted that to mean 500 feet radius. So that conveniently happened to push the day laborers into an area on the south side of the map. You can see, if I can use a nifty little laser, the little white highlighted area, not the entire area, but on the north end of that white area is where we were able to restrict the day laborers from working. Had a significant impact on the problem in the area. I'll tell you what really had the greatest impact was the first meeting we held between the day laborers and the businesses. We had one business owner who was particularly vocal. We were a little concerned when he showed up to the first meeting because we thought there was going to be some pretty significant issues between him and the day laborers. He was clearly frustrated. He explained to the day laborers that he didn't want them standing in front of his driveway because it was intimidating customers, and went on and spoke about a number of the concerns he had. The following day, the day laborers had self-policed themselves, moved away from the driveway, and to this day have not gone back. So again, the communication was a huge part of the success in that part of the project. Okay, a few more of the project accomplishments. Some of the security procedures were revised. We did meet early on with representatives from the big three, Target, Walmart, and then a strip mall to the north, South Bay Marketplace, to look at ways of joining security forces or coming up with some consistent ways of doing business. Walmart revised their security procedures. They were pretty closed-lipped about everything that they did, but suffice to say, they did change their procedures, took a more proactive approach, and had an impact as a result on robbery. I'm going to wrap this up in the next few minutes. Thank you. We also worked with the Sober Living Facility to provide services to some of the folks in the area who had substance abuse problems, and implemented most of the more than 50 SEPTED recommendations. So now, Nancy had talked about our evaluation, crime being reduced by 23%, robbery seeing the most significant reduction, 53%, and then vehicle theft. Based on our post, based on the survey, I should say, pre and post, we saw that the panhandling, the unwanted people, unwanted persons in the area was down as well. Strengths, I talked about the communication, far and away the greatest strength, and the partnership that developed, but also having an active steering committee was one of the big benefits, because they were the folks who really drove this process. And again, we didn't rely on the technology. We did have a vendor come out, and we walked the Safe City area, got a bid on cameras, looked at erecting 12 cameras. The bid they gave us was about $350,000, cost prohibitive at that time. We felt that the efforts to raise the money would have taken away from the other things we were trying to accomplish. And besides, Karen is an intimidating person and talked me out of it. Some of the challenges, projects overlapped in the two cities, didn't create a number of problems, but when we went to a PBID process, I'll talk about that briefly, it did create a few issues. Personnel changes. Because of the economy, our city staff has gone from about 1,300 at its peak 3 years ago down to about 900 now. With those changes came changes in the police department. We lost about 8 or 9% of our sworn staffing. We eliminated our community relations unit. Fortunately, we've been able to save one person with some grant funding. But because of that reduction in staffing, some of the projects took longer to accomplish. From that, that resulted in a frustration among some of the partners, which in turn led to that loss of momentum. And then finally, where we're at now, we are more or less in a maintenance mode. We are still looking at some of these projects. One of the things we were going to do for the auto theft is subsidize a kill switch. We found in 2006 about 30% of the cars that were stolen in the Safe City area belonged to employees. So we were going to use some of the Safe City funding and work with the Best Buy business in the Safe City area to do low-cost kill switch implementations. And where we're at now is working through a PBID process, Property-Based Improvement District. It's really just a self-assessment where people can use the money for environmental enhancements, marketing, security, area identification, things like that. And then at some point in time, we hope to transition the leadership from the police department taking the lead on everything to where the steering committee is now driving more of what's happening in the Safe City area. And I know we're going to do questions later on, so I will back out of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.